true story. Sometimes I have people on the podcast who just like rock me to my core. And the conversation, I mean, most of the conversations that I have like really make my mind tick after I have them. But this one especially, I have to hand it to this guest because my mind was blown just by talking to this entrepreneur and hearing about her attitude, her approach, how much she's been able to accomplish, how her career transitions have led her to this point. Like, we talk about this all the time, how people's careers that they start off doing are really not what they end up doing. And it almost feels like it's like in the entrepreneur handbook of like, if you want to really become an entrepreneur, you should do a 180 of something that you weren't doing before. And that's really what happens with so many of our guests. So today on the podcast, we have Cody. And you guys, she is the founder of the most stunning designed, beautifully designed piece of equipment for your home, for your gym, for your desk. Like, I've never seen anything like it. It's her company's called Equipped Movement, and you need to check it out because when you see what she's created, your mind's going to be blown because you're like, oh my God, how did someone come up with this? It looks like a piece of art that you would have in your home. And that's her whole thing is, we get into this in the episode. Clearly, I'm very excited because I just thought she was a riot. Like, Cody's freaking hilarious. She's so fun to talk to. But also, what she's created is stunning, and it's clear why other retailers and some big names in retail have been interested in carrying her product, because when you go look at it, you're like, no shit, it looks amazing. Like, it's so cool. So I'm blown away by Cody's success. Her advice is just like such a I wouldn't say it's a nudge, it's more like a kick of like what you need to be doing. So if you are feeling down, maybe you have some like seasonal sadness and you're just feeling like stuck right now and you need like a kick in the head, this episode is definitely going to provide that for you. So enjoy it, and I will catch you guys on the flip side. Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, how unconventional has your life been?
I'm going for like, I mean, there's definitely more. So I feel like if I said 10, people would be like, well,
yeah,
wait for mine. I'm going for an 8. My business path
is
an 8.
I mean, it's like, it's hot on the high end, but it's definitely a safer number than I thought you would have said. Yeah, 7 or 8. What would you say has been really unconventional about your life thus far?
So I was thinking about it. I opened, so apparently so is the word of the day. I grew up in Ojai, Wyoming and Ojai. At 15, I was like, I want to model. I decided this is what I wanted to do. My mother declined this offer. Not that I was like playing, you know. Yeah. So I opened up the Ventura County Yellow Pages and looked up modeling agency and found one in Los Angeles, called them. I was like, I want to be a model. Then she's like, okay, well, apparently I'll say yes to this. Went down, but just randomly doing that set me on this crazy trajectory to where, like, now I have a company making fitness equipment, all just because I'm like, well, I don't really know the answer to this, but this seems good. Like, impulsivity. Yeah,
I mean, that's the best way to start, right? That's like what every founder or entrepreneur says. You just kind of like find a way to figure it out and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I started making U-bars because I'd like hang out at Home Depot being like, I see the weird thing in my head. Excuse me. What's that? That's a pretty color of metal.
Wait,
what's
so
that?
So like, okay, so let's, so you went from modeling and, and tell people what you modeled.
Oh yeah. So I mainly did like commercial print, some beauty campaigns. Like, you'd see me on at Rite Aid with like the
nice
underneath. Bought my first house that way. Yeah. But my only visit to Chicago was modeling a chair.
Love it. We've never had a chair model on the podcast. I'm so excited to welcome Cody, first chair model of the next weekend.
Yeah.
We love that.
I should find the cover of ergonomic chairs.
Yes. I love it. I would love to see it. You need to find that.
Slow roll. So then I became Dr. Maggie on General Hospital, continuing my unlikely career path.
Just normal.
Yeah. I can officially say I'm not a doctor. Yeah, I just played one.
That's
on
great.
TV. Yeah. So then I drank some poison tea and got fired.
Wait, I'm sorry. What?
Yeah. So I had a 4-year contract. Our producer got fired, and the new producer kind of got rid of a lot of the newer actors. Long short, I did a year. And that was when I was like, well, I never really wanted to do acting forever. I just had no clue what else I could do in life. That's the only thing I'd ever done. It's like that kind of stuff. And that's when I actually took a class at UCLA that was a business class. And it was so awesome because they also would go, well, think about the skills that you acquired while doing these things. Like, you can reject me 18,000 times and I'll be like, all right, cool. Like, maybe the next one. Like, totally a number game. Some of them I may be a little more bummed about, but you definitely start to live with so much rejection that you're like, 8,001 is a charm. Yeah. And I think the combination too of being from Wyoming and Ohio, where like legit my family members would be out there like, you know, my dad's a cowboy. I've worked in irrigation ditches. Like, I have a scar on my finger because we get up 3 times a day and like have to move the pipes. And I almost lost one. My aunt was like, well, it's a long way from your heart. We got work to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the non-fear of rejection and the grit required, I think definitely come into play.
Yeah.
With
and so what was your path like starting Equipped, and tell people about what the brand is all about too.
Absolutely. So Equipped is all about redesigning traditional fitness equipment to like a lifestyle of movement. After the soap, I was like, well, what else do I like? I like community. I like women. I like moving my body. And I also like cocktails and I curse and I drink and my body's mind to like kind of decide what is the best version of it. And it changes, you know, some days I'm like, okay, buckle down, you got this. And I'm like, I don't think I'm not healthy if I'm not, you know, just the idea of balance. And so that was actually the impetus of like own you. And I started the company with one of my best friends who still is, she went on to launch a technology company and now she's starting a line of like amazing, you know, emotional intelligence for kids. Still one of my best friends, and we were sitting there having rosé, and we were like, it should be a U shape. So we took cardboard and started cutting out U's, being like, yeah, that's genius. Pour another glass. Again, continuing this non-linear trajectory of what led me to where we are now. So then, that's when we really made the decision that, like, let's do this. Let's build this space that is ownership of you and can encourage people to have their best self. I actually started as a studio, and so I would go to Home Depot, ask a million questions, be like, how do you do this? What do you do there? That's threading. I would take the end caps and just ask a million questions. I'm definitely have learned that same way that I started with opening at the yellow pages, I think is the same way that I live now, where information is there for the taking. You just kind of have to sift through it.
Yeah.
You know? I think especially right now, there's so much information out there, but there's nothing you can't learn. And you learn
so
by doing.
It's kind of daunting to think about going into Home Depot and asking about materials. I mean, I think for a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of people on the podcast, obviously entrepreneurs are problem solvers and they're really tuned into how to figure things out. But I think what's so admirable about a lot of people that we have on the podcast is like they have an idea for something and they have no idea how to get from point A to point B. Like there is no handbook of here's how you build this. Here's how you create these materials. Like there's nothing. And so I think it'd be a little intimidating to go into a place like Home Depot. Also, I'm not that savvy with that kind of thing anyway, but how do you figure out or how do you find your first almost like advocates who are understanding what you're trying to build, who can actually help you?
I think it goes back to this idea of like, you'll get one yes. And that one yes probably isn't going to be the final yes, but it'll guide you on the path. So the guy who was designing our fitness space said, he's like, I've heard about this steel fabricator in Burbank that would be great. So I went in there and met with him, and we just sat down and talked about things. And luckily I found that being a woman in steel was actually really beneficial because a lot of people were willing to help and to venture in there. And we just sat down and kind of talked about it and wrapped it out. And initially the U-bar would go on the wall in lieu of a ballet bar and then come off. Tons of different workouts that you can do with it. And, you know, I had that space for a year. I knew nothing about business. I operate so much and still do so much of what I do is from the emotional that now I'm like, oh, so you actually have to add a lot of financial acumen into it. You know, you've got to have good margins. And that was a slow, long journey to learn.
Because you're probably also investing money, right? If it's a physical product, you're investing money into the upfront, right? So how does it work when you talk about this U-bar, and for people listening who are not familiar with what it actually looks like, how would you describe it?
A giant horseshoe, like the best way to put it. It's 11 by 14 inches. It's 2-inch diameter, whether it be the 4, 8, 12, or 16-pound weight. And I guess I can kind of almost expedite what it is a little bit. Is just, it's a visual trigger to movement. I then took the manufacturer. We closed the studio. I had a baby after I had Lo. And he's like, well, why is there nothing within an arm's reach that is chic? Because at the time the U-bar didn't have the finishes that it has now, and so I took my manufacturer a bunch of makeup, her strapped to my chest, and I was like, how do we do this? This is Tom Ford. Women reach for this lipstick. There's a visual trigger to the effect, to the action. How do I make that? I think that's another thing too, is like, it doesn't matter, don't be scared to kind of veer away from what the traditional is.
Well, right, because you're talking about like high-end designer and mixing in things that have to do with movement, and it's almost like people can't piece together what that could possibly look like. For those of you guys listening, we'll have, obviously, of course, as we always do, in the show notes, the URL where you can go check out what the U-bar actually looks like, but it's very, very sleek. It's like a beautiful piece that you could have in any room that would like, it almost looks like an axe, like a decorative accent in a lot of ways.
That's exactly it. Because traditional weights, you're going to hide under your bed. And also there's something about a traditional weight that you know what it evokes in you. Like back to the emotional, you know, a dumbbell means this. We had someone who kept it on his desk. He's in finance, kept it on his desk. And he said, he's like, I like that no one knows what it is. So every time I entered or exited, I did the same move for 1 minute with my U-bar. And he's like, I wasn't announcing, it was just for me. And it does make it, marketing-wise, we've had to kind of find non-linear, unconventional paths there too, because it doesn't fit into a traditional, you know, we're launching in both Pottery Barn and Saks, like home fitness, like just weird ways.
That like, different paths than most people would even consider, like, okay, here are target retailers. You're like, no, actually, the list looks a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I also do love doing direct to consumer, to like build the world of what we're doing. You know, we've gone on to now do vegan leather ankle and wrist weights. And we've got a pretty like launching a really cool new glider come spring that's incredible and beautiful and sustainable and all that jazz.
So cool. I love it.
But it's so fun. And even our new glider was, I found out there was a material that was made from a completely nothing fitness related. And I was like, that's really beautiful. I bet. And I stopped the company and finally got someone to get a hold of me. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you what it's for, but just send me samples and I'll make my own prototype and I'll figure out if it works or not. And then it
worked. So tell me.
And same thing with our ankle weights, our vegan leather, super chic. You can swim in them. But I like the idea of things that I wear them like for school pickup. I'll have them on my ankles with my shoes. And people are like, oh, great, gladiator sandals. I'm like, cool, thanks. They're turning my ass too. Because I don't move in traditional. I think that's at the core of the company. It's this redesigning what fitness is. And that it's a lifestyle of movement. Like, plank during story time, or I do leg lifts during dishes. Like, I don't spend 45 minutes. I don't have that to do. I don't care. I always believe that we all have 24 hours. I don't care to devote. I'm not devoting my 45 minutes to that. I'd probably lay there with a glass of wine if I have an extra.
Like, if we're being honest, I mean.
Yeah.
So what is, I think after the pandemic, it's interesting to see these fitness startups and movement startups come to the surface, right? Because I think movement and feeling fit means something different to people now than it did before. Why do you feel like this space, it sounds like you believe that this space could use a little bit of like disruption. What do you think are some kind of like old school ways of thinking that this industry is imparted on a lot of people?
I love that question. I think a lot of it is that six pack, the external, the visual of what health is, needs to be redefined. Because just because you don't have a six pack or your body doesn't look this way doesn't mean that you're unhealthy. Health is in a strong core. Like, we deliberately try to avoid the word, like, it's not abs, it's your core. Things that can really redefine. I mean, even for myself, the majority of the time during the pandemic, you know, I was trying to bootstrap this, but I was in the garage epoxying with, I have three kids, I didn't have childcare, and I was self-funding. I brought on someone at the end, but the majority of the time, it was just me. And I'm going, we're like, you should fundraise, but how do you do that when you're also trying to prioritize family? And so all this goes back to this core essential principle of choose the best version of you and get it. Go after it. But make it be your own. And it can change too. But I think that that's a big thing, is that fitness shouldn't be defined by simply an hour in the gym, time spent. These are the parameters of what workout clothes look like. These are the parameters of what, where our space is. And I think the pandemic really did remind us of that, oh, well, maybe the mental and the physical and the emotional health comes from hiking a mountain. In my case, also wearing our but it's that. It's doing the stairs. Like, I mean, my take on fitness is borderline hilarious. We're literally, I like run to the next room always. I'm like, high knees. No, not. And I think that's also one of the things that I'm an unconventional founder to be in a fitness startup, because I built from the consumer standpoint. I don't build as the professional.
Right, because this is not like, this has been your life story. This is something that, you know, as you were telling your story earlier, it's kind of like you had this idea, this spark, but it's almost like it came out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah, and I did the slow burn, but I think being in entertainment, you know, you had to look a certain way. You had to maintain a physical appearance. And my upbringing, my mom, we would go for 10-mile hikes when I was five. Like, my dad rodeoed, I rode steers, I barrel raced. We were always active, but I just was never in the traditional ways. My mom was doing yoga. Like, there's that old country song, I was country when country wasn't cool. I always laugh at like that one. And then also, like, my mom was a yogi before yogis were cool. Like, you know. Those two things, I think, are definitely embedded in my DNA and the culture of it, which is why now we're like doubling down on, you know, I didn't come out of the gate with an app, because there's apps out there. So what should ours be? And now we'll have that launching in the new year, and it's going to be different, and it's going to be really cool and inspiring other perspectives.
Yeah, because I feel like there's also a lot of shame tied to fitness. Like, you were talking about, like you, for it to be a workout, you have to go to the gym for 45 minutes. And I actually was just working with someone who I would call a therapist to try and reduce my burnout as someone that's an entrepreneur, which, as you know, it's like really difficult to not get burned out. And I was like, I just am not making time for fitness. Like, I know that I should be. And she was like, why don't you just take a 15-minute walk? And then I was like, well, is that enough? And she was like, enough to who? Like, that's really, you know, like, it's really like, that's not, it's, you know, we, and I'm like, oh man, I didn't even really think about that. Like, yeah, sure, I could take a 15-minute walk. I don't need to plan out and bucket out an hour for it to be effective. And I think when you talk about this person sitting at their desk and they have, you know, a piece of your product in their desk and it looks really chic, but then they can also use it for a 10-minute workout. It's almost like as a society, it's like, you're not doing enough unless you work out, you know, in the gym for an hour a day. And really it's like, the world is changing. How can we define fitness for ourselves a little bit more? And I just love that that's the message that you're getting across, because it really hasn't been something that's been like told to us, I guess.
Yeah. I love that. It's so true. We just filmed some under 10 minute, like, I think it's also shifting the narrative of how we view, okay, so I'm going to do 5 minutes. No, like I say, okay, I'm going to go do two songs. Because if you view things, same thing with like, don't look at a dumbbell. You look at a U-bar and it like looks sleek and sexy. And like, I mean, literally I can just be like, all right, I'm going to do my shoulder presses while we're sitting. But if you shift the word association around what the world of fitness is, it helps. You know, I'm going to do two songs, and you make it a treat to yourself too, where I'm like, yeah, bring on that Bieber, or like, yeah, let's have a dance party to some Baby. And we actually just filmed some really cool videos that I did, both kind of a high intensity and thinking about the mental association that goes into it when you're sitting at your desk and when you want, well, I don't want to have someone speaking to me because it's my time. So show me what to do, kind of guide me in an inspiring way, but I wanted it to be something that you're going to click on. And both, there's like the high intensity dance party, the emotional release that comes with there, but then also that when you're squeezing and you see the you see the visual trigger, you're reminded, okay, bring it back in. Own your breath, own your core, find your stillness and your balance, because I think both those things are important, just in ways that like workout, it shouldn't just be like lift, pump, like, slower, breath, power, be intentional.
Yes, like the mind-body connection, totally. Yeah, what about, so let's go back to your story a little bit. So we were talking about going in, working with this person on the actual materials for what you were building. How many like prototypes did you go through before you landed on the one that you really like?
Honestly, it still is in development. Like, you know, our first ballet bar, I'm not in love with, so we've redesigned it, and we actually are partnering with the most insane manufacturing company, which I'm pumped on. But I mean, they would have end caps that I had to hand screw on, the little teeny screws, and I just sit there and I'd be like, all right, ladies, come over, girlfriend party. And all my girls would come over. I'd make wine and cheese plates, and we'd sit there and screw the end caps.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And at the time, I was still shooting from my garage, and like, we'd launch in Bandier, and my kids would get out there and I'd be like, Loli, no, you can't scribble on that box, please. She's like, I'm going to stick us. You know, my 13-year-old, like, some people are receiving gifts and they're like, what is wrong with this company? That's why, because my children are
helping. Wait, so, okay, so this is really interesting because you're in some big retailers, and I think for a lot of people listening, they'd be blown away to hear that the product is still in progress and yet you're in these retailers. Cause I think a lot of people think, okay, you have to build this product and it has to be perfectly presentable to take to a retailer to be even considered. It's almost like you're doing, not in reverse, but you're doing things in tandems. Like, how has that process been like for you?
Yeah. I'm very much someone that like, I'm impulsive. You know, I pick up the phone book and I'm like, this is a decision I'm going to do. You know, I joke even for the U-bar. I want something that I can pick up and leave around because I'm messy. I'm impulsive. I'm bored easily. I'm noncommittal. So all these things that typically could be viewed as like negatives, we'll switch it around and maybe they're actually not terrible things. Throw the spaghetti at the wall. You know, I started the U-bar and I'm like, okay, this isn't it. Keep going. Like, I have an idea. You know, and you just, the 80-20, launch with, if it's 80% there, do it. Our ankle weights, I didn't launch until I was like, no, something's not right. I don't like this. This vegan leather material doesn't look, it looks cheap. This isn't it. Even our packaging, I'm not in love with what it was. But I took this slow journey to entrepreneurship and to where the company is as a whole. We've turned down, we're in now, we've launched into 13 wow. countries, but I've turned down, I think, another at least quite a few of them, just because I went, you know what? We don't have the bandwidth. I don't have we've got 1,100 landing and they're pre-sold. Like, okay, how do we deal with this? Because of that, you know, we're fundraising now, but I bootstrapped to date. And you just are right. scrappy.
How, what about, what do you, what and guides you to that? Yeah. Like, so when you, I love how honest you are, like when you talk about like being impulsive and non-committal, people are like, wow, the honesty. Like, I mean, really sometimes entrepreneurs, they try to paint this like perfect picture of themselves and that's not the case. And so I love how just frank you are about things, but then with like impulsiveness, cause I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel that way. What's like the guiding North Star for you guys in terms of like your vision that you feel like you're still working toward? Or do you feel like it's hard to plan that out because so many things are happening day to day that it's hard to keep track?
No, I think vision is it's again back to this idea. I really took a slow journey. And I'm glad I didn't fundraise before and took the slow path. And this sounds silly, but like, you know, I've got a 4-year-old and 13-year-old and a 16-year-old. During the pandemic, they're always there. The 13 and 16 would do their remote work. But the 4-year-old, I was like, you know me again, I'm not good. So I like lay sometimes, I like throw a blanket outside. Like, okay, I don't want her to see me. Back to this idea of almost being intentional. If I was on a screen, I'd be like, okay, here's mom's hour. I'd work before, I'd work after, but I'd also lay there and daydream and take the stillness and allow to not rush through what could be the quickest fix to what the company is. Do the app, do this. No, it's like, okay, so I see what is missing. I see this product could really, I want this in my life. How do we build it? I want this as the company. I want to, you know, I like having select retailers, but, you know, when we're launching each of these different countries, we're doing something that we call like the global language of movement, because that's really what it is. So when we're launching in Kuwait, we want to have some trainers and an influencer from there that are filming content in the Equip style, but that they're represented there. Same thing when we're launching Brown Thomas in Ireland. We have trainer and influencer. Like, give us, and the influencer, I reference them because this idea of like my no leggings required. You can be pissed, but also it's just my weird way of saying it. You do you.
You know what?
I'm not judging.
If that's your version of movement, you know, go with it.
I like, so I live in basically cutoffs, not underwear, and sunglasses. And that's, I don't wear leggings.
Isn't it so funny that leggings are almost like, once again, the shame and the like intimidation factor. It's almost like, okay, if you don't have those things, then can you move? And it's like, well, yeah, but like, we're almost, it's almost like we need to be like reminded that that's even possible.
Yeah, completely. Well, and that's the thing is like, how do we showcase and maybe it'll just spark something that people are like, oh yeah, I can do leg lifts during dishes or like, huh. I never thought about doing that. Like when I'm waiting for Lola to tie her shoes, I'm in squat position. I'm in a wide-legged plie and I'm like, uh-huh, you got this. And I'm doing my little pulses because it makes me more patient also because I feel like I'm not just waiting on her. I'm not just living because we also rush so much and we give and give and give. So if you're doing, if you're taking those little moments to nurture in unconventional ways, you're like, huh. It gets embedded in the lifestyle.
Right. Let's talk about launching in different countries because I'm very curious about that. When you're talking about this global movement or global idea of movement, how do you differentiate how you talk about the product depending on the country that you're launching in? Or does that just not matter as much?
No, it does. And honestly, I started to pull back from going international. Partially because the idea, the vision is very big. It's to have, you know, continuing to do DSC, but also to have some of these spaces that you can do no leggings required, standard workouts. We'll have the app launching in the new year, but how do we inspire movement? How do we help you to define your best version of you and give you the products? I think that's another kind of differentiating factor of why we didn't launch with the app. We launched with products. and content around movement. And so I've kind of reined it back in a little bit because of also the logistics. And it took me a while even to get my margins right. My financials.
I love that you say that.
That's
so true for so many people, but no one talks about it.
No, like I broke even for so long. Yeah. I lost money, honestly, on some of them. It was like,
oh, fuck. It's okay.
And now finally we're in a position that I'm able to like our trajectory is good. And especially now that I'm like starting this fundraising journey, don't think they'd really be like, I'm not giving you money if you're breaking on sales, losing money on sales. But it almost goes back to this idea of like operating from the emotional. You can bring another, like Riley came on board and she's so great because she's so good with operations and execution and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. And we fit that way. We'll be like, I have an idea and I see this and I want it to happen. Like my husband says, he's like, scariest things you ever say is, I have an idea. I see this in my head. He's like, oh,
here we go again.
What a shit.
Oh my God. I love it. What about people who want to launch something in the fitness industry and they see it as hyper competitive? I mean, and not even, I know that you're positioning yourself differently and maybe that's going to be part of your answer, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are really passionate about this space, but then they look at, I mean, you look at brands like Gymshark and some of these bigger brands that have just grown in the last year, but it's really starting to get competitive. Like what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who want to go into this space, but maybe are like tiptoeing a little bit?
I mean, same thing as before. Throw this spaghetti against the wall. Just do it. Launch something. Do whatever you see. Take that first step. See what you want the big picture to be and know that it's going to change. So take the first step. If you
change,
want it to be
change why?
An app. And
see the big picture and know that it's going to change. Change because of what you're going to learn along the way or change because of, okay.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll stay the same, but most likely it's going to evolve. Like it took me a while to know now what I see as our end result. But it didn't happen. I wouldn't know that if I didn't take the first step. And I've learned how to structure my days where I'm like, okay, like we still don't have PR yet. We've been featured in like, we just had a huge thing. We were like Fast Company, Innovation by Design honoring and like sports and wellness, Nike won. And I'm like, Nike and MIT? Like this is crazy. I'm a model turned soap opera actress. Like, you want to do it.
So funny. Well, wait, but then, okay, so for people listening, they're like, how the hell did you get that then? Because I think a lot of people look at retailers and PR and it's like, whoa, that would be my dream someday to get featured like that. Like, how does that happen?
Be scrappy. Don't be above anything. There was a woman, she was a Chinese billionaire that had a contact company. And she still would go in and sweep the floor so you could see what's happening there. Like I took welding classes because I wanted to know when I'm asking my welders, why is it this cost? And what is your turnaround time per piece? And how are you doing this? So I found, now closed sadly, but Molten Metalworks was so cool. And I went in and I was like, oh, dope. So this is how you do it. And then I would continue that education and like watch YouTube videos. Poor Lola seen more videos on foundries than any small 3-year-old. Yeah.
You're like, I'm so sorry to subject you to this.
I'm like, look at the pretty blue kettlebell angel. Look at the fire.
That's so funny. You're like, now she's like, now you're going to hire her. You're going to hire your own daughter for this stuff. Yeah. But that's so, the welding classes, that is a step beyond what people would even think to do. It's almost like push. Like, I love that advice. Like if you think something's below you or you're above it, that's not true. Right. And I love that you would get that detailed into your own process to figure things out.
Yeah. Well, and that goes into too, like press, figure out who's writing these articles. And go in and don't pitch the editor, but like go in and figure out like, oh, who's doing these? I really like what she's writing. I'm going to figure out. And most, I mean, we were in Allure as like one of Michelle's favorite things. Well, I figured out that the editor-in-chief of Allure had her own website that had her email. Mm. So I was like, ah, jackpot. And she had her own Instagram. Like, people are creating their worlds, and they're more accessible than ever. Like, you know, the idea of touching Anna Wintour in the past was you don't. But now everyone is within arm's reach because there's so much technology out there that whether they have an Instagram, you can also, you can figure out yep. people's email addresses. Like, there's only so many formats.
I love
and then you
how
can
you choose if you're sending like 16 different types of formats before you get a hit.
Yes. And then you can track and yes. you can see who read it. So then I'm like, ah.
Yes. It's so true. No, it's okay if you swear. It's Cody's covering up her mouth after she swears every time. So there's a tool for anyone listening that's a great tool to find email addresses called hunter.io. I think maybe I've talked about it before in the podcast. But they have a free plan. You can use it and go look up. You type in the domain. And then you kind of have to do some legwork, like go on LinkedIn, match up the names to some of the emails that you're seeing, and work backwards that way. But like, there are ways, and I love what you're saying because it's so true. It's like anyone is really super accessible, and they almost like expect to hear that the pitches now because they know that they're putting themselves out there.
I like that some of these retailers are going to be like, be careful of Equipped. Their founder's a little bit of a stalker.
We'll hunt you down. Wait, so let's talk about scale. Because I want to hear, like, when you said it was a slow journey, and then now you're popping up in all these publications and retailers, like, how did you keep up the, I know you said, like, being scrappy and keeping your, like throwing paint at the wall, whatever product that you have handy. But like when you say it's a slow journey and now you're starting to see all of these amazing things pop up, like what is that? Like, what does the real journey look like? Cause I think a lot of people think that they see overnight success with entrepreneurs. And what does that patience look like as an entrepreneur who really is like moving quickly and is impulsive, but also making sure that everything is done in a way that you feel really confident about.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you say that. That's definitely it is. I'm not going to put, you know, we had another prototype for a new product and it just wasn't, I was like, no, when we launched this particular piece, this is what I want it to be. And this doesn't represent it. So we're not going to market with that. It didn't fit the 80-20 rule. It wasn't enough. And I think enjoy the journey, that's for sure, because it's hard every day. It's really easy to want to quit and get disheartened.
What were moments when you felt like you wanted to quit?
Just kidding.
But honestly, maybe that's an honest answer, because sometimes that's like the funny thing about the entrepreneurial journey. It's like highs and lows, really.
Oh my God, yeah. I think that's it, because it's also easy to compare and go, wow, well, I want this. Realistically, during the pandemic, do I wish I was able to focus more when there was such an opportunity? Yeah, but these parameters that I had to focus on family first, and I didn't have the ability to put $1 million into the company. Like, I was still bootstrapping and couldn't raise because I had to have all three kids. Okay, so accept that. I think that's a big part of it. Is, you know, I think my country upbringing definitely gives you a lot of that. Like, accept the reality, then what can you do with it? So if these are your parameters that you're given, how can you scale them? How can you operate around those? Also for anyone wanting to make a product, ThomasNet and MFG.
Wait, sorry, what is it?
You can go with ThomasNet.
Okay.
And then, yeah, MFG. some manufacturing global, but go on to those and you can search by material. I'm obsessed with materials. And I think that's also where you can look and be like, huh, what is that? And then sometimes the material leads to what the product could be. Don't be afraid to think outside.
I love when people,
those are two excellent.
I love when people give resources like that. That makes me so happy. That's awesome. I need to go look those up. That's great.
Oh yeah, there's so much good that you can fine there.
And just out of curiosity, who was your first hire?
I mean, she was, we just celebrated a year, Riley. She is incredible, fresh out of Parsons. And
what's her role?
There was a woman we were with.
Life. She's like a catch-all.
Yeah, she does sales, but I'd say really like almost for sales, a lot of our wholesale inquiries, we couldn't keep up with demand, like because we wanted to keep some for us. So yeah, again, in a different position now because of where we are, but she was more operations. I like vision. I like strategy. I think creative and nonlinear. So you have to have someone that is the balance to that, because it's really great to go, I see this really cool idea. Well, what's timeline to get this idea into place?
Yes.
Put it down. You know, when you're going to launch in these retailers, awesome. But it is so time consuming and so hard to do the EDI. And the testing, and then this, and then that. Like, you know, we're launching in Saks. We have a really pretty exclusive U-Bar coming with them, and it takes so much work. So she's great at that. And I think the biggest thing there is she also isn't above anything. We're both scrappy, and we'll meet and go, okay, what do we want to accomplish this week, this month? How do we make it happen? I want to do wellness. I love hotels. Like a travel. Like a
but really though, you think about hotels are trying to become like this, like it's like almost like a broader destination than just a place to put your head. It's like the fitness and movement aspect. They know that people want to feel like what they have at home, they can have on the road.
Yeah. So that's exactly it. So in Canyon Ranch, we're actually in the room.
That's so cool.
You check in. We've got a booklet of moves that's in there that still is kind of on equipped brand. It's not a lot of verbiage. It's more image-based. It's a little more sensual than what traditional might look like. And we're doing other like on-demand wellness kits for some and doing like some really cool things in that space. And then also you can order and have it like, say you're, okay, so I'm going to be on a trip. Like, how do I have it shipped to me? Great, done. I want it in my room when I land. That happens by like, okay, so how, if we want that to happen, if I think that that would be something from a consumer, I think that would be really cool. Well, how do I make someone make it easier for me to achieve that? Oh, my travel agent. my travel agent is also me. For me selfishly, I'm like, damn, I want to go to Paris. Who are the cool trainers in Paris? Like, make your life work with your business. Make it all integrated. My girlfriend, Nadine, that I started the company with, who launched like Whirly and is launching My Mama Says, she's in my wedding, still one of my best friends. She's like, how do we want our work so much as an entrepreneur. How can you make it be something that you want to live? I'm wearing our ankle weights as we speak, like build from necessity. And I think that's a big thing. And then see where you want your life to go and how, is there a way that you can incorporate? Because I do think that that also helps to avoid burnout. If you confuse, this is just from my personal experience. If you confuse the two together, you know, it's a little easier if you're like, how can I do both? And then it's also a good test.
Yeah, exactly. So true. I love that. Okay. What advice do you think, you know, 2020 was obviously a tumultuous year for, I'd say, everyone. What advice do you think entrepreneurs need to hear right now?
Do it. Any idea that you have, figure out the very first step. If you have a technology idea, I didn't know what, I finally saw our app. I Googled, how do you make the visual for an app? Wireframing. That's cool. Easy template for wireframing. Like, my Google history is hilarious.
Like, Google's like, we are pretty sure we get what she's trying to do right now.
What? No, no, cake tracker. Color code red. Best rosé to be delivered with champagne for this price. We're doing a partnership, and I was like, we're launching a new colorway for the ankle weights in the UR, right? And I was like, let's do this as a partnership. And I wanted to cut to me taking. They looked at me like,
something is. Are you okay?
They're putting ankle weights around a pretty wide bottle, and I was like, packaging. You're.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. So take the first step. Let Google guide you. They will help you. But and ask. Like, we met from Dreamers and Doers. That community, it's such a cool time to be a woman in business, because we, I think by nature, you know, women are communal. We ask for help from one another. Back in the day, it'd be like, all right, so he's out hunting, killing a lion for us to feed our food. Like, can you watch little Joe?
Probably not the name for him. Okay.
I'm going to get something and watch Little Joe. Gotcha. Like, we're communal. We also like to chat, and share ideas. I'm very much the believer that, like, we can all reach up together. So if you have an idea, put it out there. Don't be scared of the rejection. Don't be scared of looking foolish and not knowing. Just ask. Take the first step. Someone knows someone.
So true.
There's a reference for it. And even if it's non-conventional, it'll give you some sort of guidance to bringing it to life. So whether it be fitness, shopping, everything's been done before. You know, figure out what you want yours to be, your why, because you're definitely creating from a reason. And then take
love it. Do it. You guys, that's this podcast. This is last episode of the podcast, because you don't need any more advice. This is it. And then we're done. Yeah. And scene. Okay. Thank you so much, Cody, for coming on the podcast. This was such a good episode. And I love how it's not like you make things sound easy, but easier, I think, than people make them out to be. So thank you for that.
I love that. My pleasure. I mean, it's challenging. You want to quit, but also take your pauses, take your breaks, take your stillness, go for that 15-minute walk wearing your
yeah.
rocks. And then get back on the horse. Like, just keep at it.
Sometimes I say this for like every episode, but truly, I think this episode is going to go down as like one of my favorite episodes of all time. Like, if I'm ever feeling uninspired, I'm just going to listen to this. And then I feel like I'll have the tools to do what I need to do to get the kick in the ass that I need to move forward. Like, it's amazing. I'm blown away by Cody's approach, her attitude, and then also what she's built. Something else that she talked about that I forgot to mention in the intro is the vegan leather ankle bracelets. Like, who comes up with these things? How brilliant. They're so cute and they're so chic. So everything is in the show notes. You guys need to go check out the website. Like I said, when you see the equipment that she's designed, you're just going to be like, this is so cool. I've never seen anything like this. Like, it's just amazing. So anyway, thank you so much, Cody, for coming on the podcast. You are something else, truly. And you guys listening, if you love today's episode, feel free to give us 5 stars or whatever stars you'd like, or write a review on Apple Podcasts. It goes such a long way for me, and it just helps me understand, you know, what you guys like, maybe what guests you'd like to have on, or email me. You know, I'm so open to that. And I'm beyond grateful for you as listeners. I'm so excited every time I see that we have listenership around the world and people that I don't even know are listening to this podcast. Like, I don't know why, but that's a real pinch me moment for me. It just makes me so happy, really, truly. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. And I will catch you guys next week.